Friends, the Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
When Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of King Herod, behold, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is the newborn King of the Jews? We saw his star at its rising and have come to do him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was greatly troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Assembling all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it has been written through the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, since from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people, Israel.'" Then Herod called the Magi secretly and ascertained from them the time of the star's appearance. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the child. When you have found him, bring me word, that I too may go and do him homage." After their audience with the king, they set out. And behold, the star that they had seen at its rising preceded them until it came and stopped over the place where the child was. They were overjoyed at seeing the star, and on entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. They prostrated themselves and did him homage, then opened their treasures and offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed for their country by another way. The Gospel of the Lord. There's a story about how Sherlock Holmes and Dr. Watson go on a camping trip. They pitched their tent under the stars, got their sleeping gear ready, and went to sleep. Sometime in the middle of the night, Holmes woke Watson up and said, "Watson, look up. Tell me what you see." Watson replied, "Why, I see millions and millions of stars." Holmes said, "And what do you deduce from that?" Watson said, If there are millions of stars, and even a few of those have planets, why, it's quite likely that there are some planets like Earth out there. And if there are a few planets like Earth out there, perhaps there might also be life." And Holmes impatiently interrupted and said, "No, Watson, you idiot. It means someone stole our tent." So I'm reminded of that because of the emphasis on the star. Today we celebrate the Epiphany of Christ. Christmas is his birth, but a few shepherds and Mary and Joseph witnessed it. On the Epiphany, the entire world witnesses it in the person of the Magi from distant lands. They represent the nations encountering Christ and him being revealed. Epiphany is a revelation, so they see him being revealed to the people. And Jesus himself then, in their person, makes himself known to them and by extension all humanity down through history, which is his goal, to witness and be open and available to all humanity and revealed to them. And this light is a very evocative metaphor. It is the light of God's love. It is the light of truth. In John's first letter, he says, "God is light. In him there is no darkness." And he goes on further, "God is love." This light is the light of God's love. And together, the Magi, they go together to kind of show what the Magi went towards. They went towards the star, looking for what they might find in great meaning. A king who could rule, who could shed light on life. A king who ruled based upon love for the people that he ruled. And they were attracted to all this by the light of this star. It's very interesting to look at the origin of the English word desire, which is directly related to this. It comes from the Latin desidere, which is rooted in de, which means from, and sidus, which is a constellation, a group of stars, or sometimes even just a star. It reminds us, right, of the experience of sailors who went to their desired port, navigating by the stars. And this beautiful image kind of connects with what desire is. You know, Desire is a guiding star, what we want, what our goals are. There's a beautiful poem by Edgar Allan Poe that kind of captures a little bit about the mystique of a guiding star. And it's called Evening Star. And he writes this: 'Twas noontide of summer and midtime of night, and stars in their orbits shone pale through the light of the brighter, cold moon. Mid planets her slaves, herself in the heavens, her beam on the waves. I gazed a while on her cold smile, too cold for me. There passed as a shroud a fleecy cloud, and I turned away to see, proud evening star, in thy glory afar, and dearer thy beam shall be, for joy to my heart is the proud part thou bearest in the heavens at night, and more I admire thy distant fire than the colder, lowly light.'" Interesting. "More I admire thy distant," I'll read that again. "More thou bearest in heaven at night, and more I admire thy distant fire than the colder, lowly light." It's interesting. Distant fire that we admire. Okay, that's our desires. That's what we search for. We have to ask, what is our star? What is our desire? What is our guiding light? It might be a special person. It might be an idea. It might be a goal or a passion. And these are what God sets human beings to be. We are goal-driven. And our ultimate goal is actualization, the full flowering of our potential. But that exists within a higher goal. That exists within the deepest goal, by the true star that guides us most profoundly, and that star is Christ. And we're called to connect everything we do, all these little desires, all these lesser goals, as noble and good as they are, to this one higher goal of the person of Christ and his teaching and his redemptive work in our life. And this Feast of Epiphany kind of stresses this prioritizing of what our goals are. Epiphany reminds us that our distant fire that we admire should be Christ. It should be communion with God that he has brought us. Ultimately, we need to learn from him as our greatest teacher, build a relationship with him as our greatest friend, come to know him in faith as our one redeemer. And that is putting things first, putting Christ first, and then our lesser stars, so to speak, also work within that and reach their fulfillment. It's also interesting in their journey toward the star, and it reminds us the Magi ran into a bad king. They were searching for the true king, the good king, but they ran into the false and evil king, Herod. He represents all the lies, the falsehoods, the false goals, the vices that can end up ruining our life when we worship them. Well, all vices can ruin our life, but we can worship them and make it even worse. And it happens all the time. And we are called and we need to distinguish between our true master, who is God, and these slave masters, who are our vices and sin. Remember, Jesus said, those who live in sin are a slave to sin. Okay? Evil king has slaves. On our journey, we have to divert from the false king. We have to listen to our inner voice and go a different way than the way the false king points to us. And we have to go towards the one true king who is true light and who is true love. Last, we bring to Christ our gifts like the Magi on this journey with Christ as our ultimate goal, our guiding star. We bring the gifts of our talents, of our time. We bring the gifts of our support. We bring the gifts of our daily struggles and sufferings. You know, Mass is not just the priest offering it, and it's not just Christ representing the one sacrifice of the cross, as amazing as that is. It also includes our sacrifices united with his one sacrifice, our struggles, our sufferings, our sicknesses, our crosses, and our joys and successes. We bring them to the altar, you know, figuratively, and we offer them with the one true sacrifice that is represented in the Mass. And so the worship of God becomes something that involves the whole of our life, not just as important as it is, but not just acknowledging mentally and in our hearts that God is Lord and that we are his creatures, but bringing our life in sacrifice to God and all the parts of our life. And so this is a really beautiful chance to see and reaffirm on the day that Christ is revealed to the world, his epiphany to the world in the persons of the Magi. It's a chance for us to see our own life as a journey by the one greatest guiding star, and certainly our lesser ones, and to have this one great guiding star lead us to our eternal home, the one port we are called to enter. I'd like to end with actually the ending of the Exultet. At the Easter Vigil, the greatest liturgy of the year, we sing God's Easter praises in a beautiful hymn with the Easter candle just placed in its holder and incensed. And it ends this way. May the morning star, which never sets, find this flame still burning. Christ, that morning star, who came back from the dead and shed his peaceful light on all mankind, your Son, who lives and reigns forever and ever. Amen.